the Shusharina or Rafshlisa. I'm not talking today about driving your Ferrari to shul when you live around the corner or doing other exotic materialistic things. We all know about showing off with materialism and wealth, which is deplored. Today we're talking about actions which may even seem to be righteous, where a person genuinely feels that what he is doing is l'shem shamayim, but nevertheless he should restrain himself from doing such things because he might be called michzi k'yohara. Yohara literally means a shining light. A person is then making himself stand out against others, setting out a beam of light, as it were, and drawing attention to himself. Now, it's a question of balance, because the very beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, Siman Aleph, Sif Aleph, says, Lo yispayish b'fnei b'nei Adam. You shouldn't be embarrassed in front of others, hamaligim alav, who make fun of him, v'avodas Hashem yisporach. You mustn't be ashamed to do your mitzvahs, obviously. But the Mishnah Berurah there says in Sif Katan Ches, Lo kol ponim, but in any case, Lo yiskoteh t'imayim, nei shemidas or azus meguna miyos. But you mustn't do something which elevates yourself, or where you become arrogant. One doesn't use one's divine service as a means to elevate oneself and to make oneself look important in front of others. And there the Bi'alocha says, of course, if there's an Abikaris there, you don't hold back. You have to do what you have to do. And it might be construed as showing off if one stands up and starts saying Divrei Torah, but you can't withhold yourself from practicing Yiddishkeit. Otherwise we're going to start doing away with Talmud Torah completely. So we're going to discuss how this balance lies. And we're going to start off with a piece from the Mesilas Yesharim. In Perek Beis, he writes, you have to have this practice of being tzniustik with Hashem. There were many great people who refrained from doing certain customs, minhagei chassidus, the yosem ben hamonot, when they were amongst other lots of people, mishum d'mishtei k'yorot, because it would look like showing off. So there is a general klal. If a person is going to do something which will generate schok v'hosel, where people will laugh at him, he should refrain from doing it where it is simply something called midas chassidus. But we're going to discuss, are these things just customs? Are these things midas chassidus? Or are they actual mitzvahs? And if they are mitzvahs, when does he hold back and when does one not hold back? And I would just like to start off with a Gemara from Pesachim. I'm sorry I didn't bring any handouts. And where it talks about in the sixth Perek when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. And on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, it says, Pamachas chol avaros aleus b'Shabbos, shachu v'lo yodu, they forgot what to do in Pesach Dorches HaShabbos Imlo. What do you do? And came along Hillel, the pupil of Shemai Vartanon, and he told them, yes, Pesach is Dorches HaShabbos. And they were so impressed with him that they made him the Nossi. And then he darshened Hilchos Pesach the whole day long, but he started chiding them a bit. He started rebuking them a bit, to the extent that it didn't sound so favourable. So on the following page, the Gemara comes back to that. Omar Abihuda Omar Rav, Kol HaMisyaher, Misyaher is related to this word Yohara, somebody who makes a show of himself in some form or another, and even thinks that what he's doing is correct and the Shem Shemayim, Im chocham hu, chochmosa mistalekes mimenu. If he is a chocham, then his chochma will suddenly depart from him. Im novi hu, and if he's a prophet, nivosa mistalekes mimenu. His prophecy will suddenly disappear. How do we know? Im chocham mistalekes mimenu mehillel. We learn this from Hillel to Amar, Hischel mekantron bedvorim. He started chiding them and telling them off with his words. Because after all this story about Erev Pesach on Shabbos, they asked him a question about what if one forgot the knife, and suddenly he forgot what the halacha is. And this was because he had elevated himself to the extent that he was like the Yohara.
he had this feeling, perhaps, of some gaiva, of big-headedness. And we learn this out from Devorah. The Siv, Chodlu, Perozim, B'Yisroel, Chodlu, Am, Shekamti, Devorah, Shekamti, Im, B'Yisroel, Aim, B'Yisroel. Where there had been no one before her whom was she considered as good as her. So after boasting, she said, the rulers have ceased in Israel until I rose. I rose as a mother in Israel. And Rashi there says, Yohara, she was showing off. She was playing down her predecessors from before her, and she was glorifying herself to the extent that Nebuah suddenly departed from her, and therefore it had to say afterwards in the Pasuk, Uri, Uri, Devara, Uri, Uri, Devarashir, awaken, awaken, Devara. She had to be told, come on, you've got to do your song now. And for a moment she was silent because it had escaped her from her mind. And it even talks in the Gemara there about Moshe Rabbeinu, when he became angry, then also Nebuah departed from him, and so on. So it's very important that even a person who's a manhig hadar, even a great Talmid Chacham, must make sure that what he is doing is not something which might be construed as Yohara. And the Ovester Rabbi Nosson brings down the story of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael, who were being brought to their death by the Romans. He said to Rabbi Yishmael, woe to us that we're being killed just as though we would be breaking Shabbos or we would be worshipping idolatry. So Omar Leif, they said to him, was there something which you might have done which might have led us to this? So he said, yes, indeed, once I was sitting and darshaning Bahar Abayis, and all the Chochmei Yisrael were there, and I got such a wonderful shkoyach from it afterwards. They were praising me for it, and boy, did I feel good from that. I got a real kick out of it. So he said, ah, for that reason, in Cain, Koroya, Nachanu, Yotzim, Yoharek, it is befitting that we are now being killed as a result of that. Amazing. He was darshining, he was marbit, Torah, Hamonam, Harabayis, but nevertheless, because he had this glorified feeling from it, that he felt elevated, for that they were being punished. So, having trailed through Orach Chaim in particular, there are lots of interesting examples where it says, don't do it, even though you think it's nice, because michsi kiyora. We'll give a few examples. We know from the Takonos of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah that we bow four times in the Shemone Esra. Let's say a person thinks to himself, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something really nice. I'm going to bow for every brocha. Make it even more special. Mitzvah Kiyara. One doesn't do it. Orach Chaim, Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, Sifkot, based on the Mishnah Berurah says, Shemachzik Atzmo Yoser Kosher Mishael Tzibur. He is making himself more kosher than the rest of the Tzibur. You should not do it. If a person takes more than three steps back at the end of his Shemona Esra, Michzik Hiyaro, Simon Kuf Kaf Gimel Sifkot Yod Zayin, because he's giving more cover to Hashem, it says, than other people are, and it's like showing off. Doesn't do it. There's another interesting example. If a person sings with the chazan, and he makes his voice much louder than everybody else's, who knows, maybe it's louder than the chazan's, I don't see where the Midas Chassidus is there, but a person feels as though it's a wonderful way of participating at shul service. Simon Kuf Kaf Dalet, Sifkotim Sessayim, it is also for a person to raise his voice more than others in order to sing with a chazan.
Do they make people sing?
I beg your pardon?
Do they make people sing?
Well, in moderation.
Carry on, Mike.
In moderation. There's an interesting halacha in Siman Tzadi where a person who stands next to the Rav or the Rebbe, making himself look as though he is an equal. And that is Michsi Kiyara. However, the Mishnah Berurah does say in Sifkot and I involve that if everybody has a fixed place and one's own fixed place is next to the Rav and it's davening with a minyan, then it's okay. But one has to be careful not to do it in such a way that one is elevating oneself to make oneself like an equal with the Rav. The Shulchan Aruch also derides those who are so particular about the way they hold the Sefer Torah when they're doing Hagbah that they might be wrapping a talus around the whole Sefer Torah before they lift it up. That is also seen as being too particular, and even if a person regards it as righteous, one shouldn't do it because it looks like one is showing off. There's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch Siman Yud Aleph, if a person threads his tzitzis through two holes in the corner of his arba kantos instead of one. It's also regarded as michsi kiyarot, but the Taz says it's okay, the Arizal says it's okay, because usually the holes are not seen by others and they're tucked away inside your clothes. However, there are certain things where the halacha points out that you do these things, even though you might feel as though it is showing off. For example, there is the question of, if you've said your Maariv just before Nacht, you should say your Kriyat Shema again after Nacht. We do not regard that as Yorah, as showing off, because there are various opinions which hold that you should be saying this Shema only after Nacht, and that you're not Yotzah till then. But then there's a question also of Maariv. If you're davening with a Tzibur, Mincha and Maariv together before night, but you withhold saying Maariv till later because you want to daven by Nacht, well, the Vilna Gaon says you should always daven by Nacht. He even says when you daven Be'achidus instead. But the question is, you are Michsei Kiyara. You are showing off by waiting for your Maariv. So says Be'alocha Simon Reish Lamed Hei. Another issue, and that is, it says that when there is a minhag not to work on Tisha B'Av, you should not work on Tisha B'Av. And when there's a minhag that you do work on Tisha B'Av, then you can work on Tisha B'Av. But a Talmud Chacham does not go to work on Tisha B'Av. And then it says, and a person is welcome to consider himself as a Talmud Chacham. So it says in Siman Tov Kaf Nun Daled, and the Mishnah Berurah there in Sif Kotan Mem Daled, you can make yourself into a Talmud Chacham by saying, I'm not going to work on Tisha B'Av. And there's a halachic basis for that. And that is not called showing off, Yorah. It's the right thing to do. Similarly, in Siman Tov Kaf Ayin Hay, Sif Kotan Gimel, it talks about when people start fasting when there is no rain. So you make a Tanis Tibor if it's really getting bad, but one starts off only with the leaders fasting. But if you wish to fast as well, because there is no rain, you should do so, you're entitled to do so, that's not called showing off. What about if you want to keep your tefillin on all day long? Obviously, we discourage it because of guf noki, a person might not keep himself physically clean the whole day and he might pass wind, so you minimise the amount. But if a person wants to keep on his tefillin all day long, it is in fact written in Siman Lamed Zayin, it's called Yoharot, showing off. Ah, maybe it's just the Shel Rosh, because the Shel Rosh is more visible than the Shel Yad. But we do know that there are in fact certain Talmid Chachomim, Rosh Yeshiva, even nowadays, who do spend a lot of time during the day wearing their tefillin, and are seen photographed during the day's program wearing their tefillin. There is a Shevet Halevi in Chelek Tes Siman Yud Ches who says that the principle of Yorah does not apply to somebody who is Mefurasam as a Talmud Chacham. Somebody who is famous as a Talmud Chacham Godol or Baal Maisa, then that is not called Yorah, because these are people who the whole world look up to as setting examples for us to follow in Tamimus. So if they are practicing certain extra things, we don't call that Yorah. There is an interesting thing about people who are so endeared to the mitzvah of lulav on Sukkos that they want to walk the whole day long with the lulav and estrog in their hand. Tovrei Shnun Beis if Kotan Bov, it's not regarded as a nice thing to do. It's considered as showing off, yoharah. But somebody who is mefurasam and medaktik b'maisav, somebody who is famous that he is medaktik in his mitzvahs, okay, he may do this. Similarly, when we spoke just before about Maariv by Nacht, it says Rogil b'she'er perishus v'chassidus, somebody who is accustomed to doing lots of these different things of extras, okay, he's known for it, that's not called showing off. Simon Reish Lamed Hei Tes Zayin. What about if a person especially wants to stand up when he's saying the Shema? He feels this is a very special prayer, the Shema, so he stands up for it. It is in fact written in Simon Samach Gimel Base, that he should not do so because it looks like showing off. However, there is an established custom for people to stand up on Yom Kippur because we're compared like angels, And therefore that's not called Yohara, although nevertheless the Prima Godim says even on Yom Kippur one should not do this business of standing up the whole time. What if the woman wants to wear talus? Is that called showing off? I'm treading dangerous ground here, this might get controversial. But the question is this. Do we say that it's a mitzvah station as mangaramah to wear tzitzis? And we do allow women to practice mitzvah cessation as mangaramah. Indeed, they even make a bracha over it, such as lulav, sukkah. There is the minhag that various mitzvah cessation as mangaramah, which are allotted to time, that even though women don't have to do them, they do do them. And they're allowed. So what is the question with tzitzis? Do we say that as it's a mitzvah cessation as mangaramah, that a woman can put on a talis, or do we say no? So the Shulchan Aruch actually says in Siman Yud Zayin, Sif Beis, Ach Michtei Ki Yohara, Noshim, as well as Avodim, it looks like one is a show-off. So why do we make a difference between that mitzvah seishas among Roma and others? Because in actual fact, it's not even a proper chiyah for the man. In the case of men who wear tzitzis, it's because you're wearing a garment with four corners, therefore you put on tzitzis. The Torah doesn't actually say you have to wear a four-cornered garment. If you wear a four-cornered garment, then you put on tzitzis. It just so happens that we do have the minhag to put on a talis, as well as a talis cotton, and one should do so. But the ikachi of midaraisa is only when you're wearing a four-cornered garment. So because it's not even a proper chiyah for men, for women to come along and say, right, we're going to make an issue out of it and we're going to wear a talit, that is definitely called showing off.
Who says that?
The Shulchan Aruch himself. Aruch Chaim, Siman Yud Zayin, Sif Beis. I've got it here if you want to know. So, and the question is, you see, if you say, oh, other people are doing it as well, we're going to come soon to a Beis Yosef who brings a very interesting principle. But that with the Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin, which we're going to discuss, even if there are others there, the Shulchan Aruch is very strict about this. When it comes to Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin, he says, it's showing off if you put them on in front of others. Ah, you're going to Rav Chunis, you're going to many Chassidus Shtibels, everybody's wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin. Alright, if everybody's wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin, you can't call that showing off. But the Shulchan Aruch speaks very strongly against wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin in public. Why? Because it's Michsi Ki Yohara. It's not a din. Everyone who wears Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin agrees that the Rashi Tfilin are kosher, but it just happens to be another opinion, which one wants to do as well as a Midas Chassidus. And therefore one should not wear Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin in public because showing off. Certainly in a shul like North Hendon or Morgs, where nobody seems to wear a Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin, it would be certainly Michsi Ki Yohara if one wears it. Oh dear, have I insulted somebody? But in a place where it's the general practice, then needless to say it would not be regarded as Michsi Ki Yohara. But there's an interesting klal brought in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef in Hilchos Tzitzis discusses this question of whether you should be holding your tzitzis during the Shema. Most people do, actually. But then it was regarded as a possible michsi ki yohara, as showing off. So he brings from the Avud Ram that this is called yohara, and he says, shekol davar she'ein odom mechuyav bo, anything which a person is not mechuyav to do, v'osa osa barabim, and he does it in public, the Midas Chassidus, as something which might well be praised as Midas Chassidus, he might be doing it the Shem Shemayim, v'cholom einom osim eso, but people are not doing it generally, who mischazik yohara. This is called showing off. Alright, the holding of the tzitzis, everybody's doing now. That might be different. But this is an interesting klal, because I was looking in a lot of places for a principle on this whole subject. And this is where I found it in Hilchos Tzitzis, Simon Kastalad in the Beis Yosef. Now, what if it's based on halacha? Before we were talking about Midas Chassidus, something which is like an extra, as it were. But what if you say, what I'm doing is actually based on a clear-cut halacha, and therefore I feel I should do it. And we're talking about something where your attitude relates to it with kavonot. You've got to, I'll explain. the chosan on his wedding night, we say it's potter from saying Kriyas Shema. He hasn't got to say Kriyas Shema. Why not? Because he's Torah's b'mitzvah. He's a bit worried about the circumstances of being his wedding night, and he hasn't got his mind on the mitzvah properly of saying the Shema, so we say, okay, we let him off. Siman Ayin, Sif Gimel. But nowadays, you say, Shulchan Aruch says, Einom Mekuvanim. Nowadays, people don't have the same kavana when they're davening like we used to. So therefore, the Chosam should say it as well. We're not really having the right kavana like Chazal used to have when they used to daven. So if we assume that we are like the Chazal of old, that we do have proper kavana at all times, and therefore I say, oh, I'm always having good kavana when I say my Shema, so now on my wedding night I'm not going to say it, then I am considered Yohara. I am a show-off. If not to other people, then to myself. It's the wrong thing to do, because I'm saying that my kavana is always so wonderful. There's another interesting case where there had been always a halacha that one does a certain thing, and that was when going to the Beis HaKisei. There's a Gemara in Brachas, Daf Samach Amud Beis, which says, HaNichnas LeBeis HaKisei, a person who goes to the toilet, Omer, he should say something before he goes, and he should say it to the angels who are always accompanying him. His kavtu, Kodim, Kedoshim, Mishor, Se Elyon, Tnukoa, Delaka, Yisrael, Chofim, Mimeni, etc. He says, will you please excuse me? I'll be back soon, but I'm just going somewhere where I can't take you in with me, so to speak. So, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Gimel, Sif Aleph, says, V'achshav lo negel omro, nowadays you don't say this. Why? Says Mishnah Berurah, ki ein onu muchzakim liyirei shemayim, because nowadays we can't assume ourselves to be like the yirei shemayim of old. Shemalochim malavin osonu, well, that the angels are constantly accompanying us because we are such special individuals. Shenevakshim sheyamsinu oleinu ad sheneitzei, that they should wait for us outside until we come out again. We're not so important, and it would be big headed of us to consider ourselves so important. Says the Avodrom, that the Shechina is actually resting on us the whole time. We're assuming this. Michse Kiyora. If you should say this prayer nowadays, you are regarded like a shof. So here we find also, just like with the Chosan, where there was a halacha, originally an actual din for you to do something, and we're saying nowadays don't do it, because if you do it, you are regarded like a shof. There's a third example in that sort of that aspect, and that is, if a person says, I'm not going to the doctor. Why? Because Hashem will look after me. Hashem will make me better. You have to go to the doctor. Says the big Hayosef in Yeradeh, Simon Shinlam, Advav, Sif, Beis. Nowadays, you don't rely on miracles. You go to the doctor. And there's an issa if you say, I'm not going to the doctor because Hashem will heal me. Mishum Yahara. You are regarded like a show-off. But coming back to this business with the angels, there's a kasha you can ask on this. Because to say that angels don't accompany anymore nowadays, don't we say in Gemara Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yotes Amud Beis, that a person who says by a churu on Friday night, two angels accompany him to his house, and they give you a special bracha that when you come into the house, your table is laid nicely, everything is more Shabbostic, and the angels give you a bracha, and we sing Shalom Aleichem. For whom are we singing Shalom Aleichem? Malachei Asharis, Malachei Elyon. That these angels who have accompanied you to your house, you're now saying Shalom Aleichem to them. Is that big-headed? Of course not. We do this. It's a very interesting question. So the Tzitz Eliezer says, in Chelek Tesvav, Simen Yudalad, he says, there are two different kinds of malachim. In the case of going to the toilet, yes, you are assuming that the Shechina is on you, and that the Malachim are protecting you, that you're a tzaddik. But when you're going home on Friday night, it's not the same sort of Malachim. They are Malachim of Eidus, they are witnesses to the fact that you're keeping Shabbos properly, Uri'iyah, and that they will see that you've laid your table nicely. And then they do that, they will give you a bracha. It's not that they're looking after you specially because the Shechina is after you, it's because they're coming along to keep an eye that you're doing your job properly, and then to give you a bracha as a result. I found lots of examples on this, and there won't be time to deal with with all of them, but what if you decide that you're going to wear your talis cotton over your shirt? Now, the Hasidim do this, and they all do this. What if you walk into North Haven Adas one morning? In fact, my own son was having once some skin trouble, and his talis cotton was itching him, so he decided to put it over his shirt. And immediately somebody came up to him and said, "Are you not aware of the fact that what you're doing is misikiyara? You're acting like a show-off." And so he's written in the Sitz Eliezer Chelek Chesim Gimel, and he quotes the Shutz Mahari Brunner Simon Tzadivov, that you go according to the minhag, the custom of the time and the place that you're in, but nowadays it's not the normal practice to wear your talis cotton over your shirt, and therefore you don't do it. If it's considered their minhag, you go to Stamford Hill and everybody's wearing a talis cotton over their shirt. That's not called Nisik Yoro, because that is their minhag. And to use the phrase of the Beis Yosef, if it's a place where nobody does it, then it's Nisik Yoro. But if it's a place where everybody does it, okay.
That means you have to change it in order not to be out of the ordinary.
Ah, well, then there's the question of minhag ha-makom, which is another subject of itself. Do you go according to the place that you're in, or don't you? When in Rome, do as the Romans do. The general principle of minhag ha-makom is you do it, lahachmir velo lahokel. To be more strict, yes, but not to be more lenient on your standards. Right? You go to a place where nobody keeps Shabbos, of course you have to keep Shabbos. You can't say, "Oh, I'll go by the minhag ha-makom." You have to keep to the halachas. And also, if it's your minhag, there might be certain differences. Like if you're wearing a talis over your head for the Shemone Esra. Right? If you go to a place where absolutely nobody wears a talis over their head, I don't want to paskin now. But I know that Rav Feldman Schlita once went to the Kaladash Yishroin in New York, where the minhag is only the Rav of the shul who wears a talis over his head, and nobody else does. So somebody came up to him and told him off that he was wearing his talis over his head. So we have to strike the right balance, and the wording used is you go according lefi minhag hazman v'ha'odom. So we're talking here about la halacha v'lo lemaaseh, and personal queries should be referred to one's own rav. Now, what about if you have the practice to wash my macharonim at the end of the meal, and nobody else does so? So you get up from the table to go out to wash your hands just before benching starts. Is that regarded as mitzvah kiyara, or isn't it? Am I being a show-off, or aren't I? It might look like one's showing off, but the problem is this. The Shulchan Aruch says, my macharonim, chovo. It is a chiyuv to wash my macharonim. The reason why many people don't wash my macharonim, especially the yekkers, is because there's a tosus in brachas which says, well, nowadays there is no melach sodomis, the sodomite salt which is on your fingers which might blind you, and since there is no melach sodomis nowadays, there is this heter not to wash my macharonim. Ah, but nevertheless, it does say this kadashim v'isen kadoshim, and we learn out my macharonim as an asmacht on v'isen kadoshim. Without paskening, it would seem that the halacha is, if your minhag is to wash my macharonim, you still wash my macharonim. You might not just make such a show of it. You might just say, "Oh, well, excuse me, I'm just going off to the toilet," and at the same time, you might wash your hands as well for my macharonim. But because it says my macharonim chova, there is no suggestion whatsoever that by doing it, you are michsek yoro. What if a person has a minhag to wear a hat for davening? It's something in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that if the derech b'nei adam, it's the way of people to greet a king or to walk in the street with a hat, and therefore one wears a hat for davening, so it's the correct thing to do. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say this. The Shulchan Aruch is simply talking about a yarmulke. So the difficulty there is if it's based on something which is regarded as halacha, then one should do it even in a place where nobody else is doing it. Because that is the practice which one is used to, based on a halachic principle. What about, I mean, if we bring that otherwise to its logical conclusion, it might be showing off if I'm standing up and I'm giving a shiur, because I'm showing off knowledge. Well, that's showing off, and therefore I shouldn't do it. I should just say, no, I'm not going to speak. Well, in that case, you're going to be doing away with Talmud Torah completely, to bring it to its absurd conclusion. And in fact, there is the Gemara in Kiddushin which talks about, if somebody asks you if you've learned a certain Gemara,
you should say, no, I haven't learned that Gemara, because you can't know it inside out anyway. Because if you say you know it, then you're showing off. But if they ask you a question about that Gemara, Tosfos says, Al tagamgem v'tomar lo, don't stutter and give the answer. After all, im lamadat Torah harbe, if you've learnt Torah a lot, Al tachazik tova le'atzmacha, you don't deserve any credit for it. Ki lekach no tzaratov, because for that you were created. So one shouldn't get this feeling of big-headedness from it. Let me tell you about the Chanukah light. There's a Sefer Dovah Be'ito. We've once discussed it before, but it was a long time ago, so I'll take the liberty of referring to it again. The halacha of the Chanukah light says the Shulchan Aruch, Manicha b'Pesach hasomach l'shus harabim. You put it on the doorway outside, on the public place, outside your house, outside your gate, machlokas, rashi, tosfos. Uveshas hasakona, but in the time of danger, manicha shulchano v'dayo. You put it on your table, indoors, on your kitchen table, v'dayo, and that's good enough. And most people nowadays, especially in cold countries, light up inside. But it's interesting that the ikar halacha is to put it outside. So this sefer, which writes Bederech Remez, writes something very interesting. V'halot tzorich lahastir masof. Surely a person should hide one's good deeds, one's mitzvahs. What's this idea of putting the Chanukah light outside, showing everybody that I'm doing a mitzvah? Surely that is showing off. And not only by the Chanukah light, but also when it comes to all one's actions in relationship to other people. Does it not say, Hatznei lechesim elokecho? When you give money for a kala and when you're burying the dead, which are necessarily public deeds and events, you have to limit as much as possible what you are doing on the open in order that you don't get gaila, that you don't get big-headed from it. Ah, to give tzedakah, to encourage other people to give, that's a good thing. And then other people should give as well. Yes, okay, but otherwise, when you give tzedakah, it should be hidden, and it shouldn't be made a show of. So he says, this is what it means when it says, b'shas hasakona doesn't mean that some yobs outside will throw a stone at your Chanukah light. He says, b'derech rem is something completely different. If you do a mitzvah in public, and b'shas hasakona, it's a danger to your neshama, that by showing off, it will make you feel really good and big-headed, Manicha al shulchana, v'dayo. Don't do it outside. Put it inside. It's not really the ikar mitzvah, but there's a harm to your neshama here. So do it privately. Do it on your kitchen table, v'dayo. And that's good enough. And he brings this story of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which we quoted earlier, that he got this kick out of giving a drosha barabim, and for that, he was punished. And there's an interesting Kli Yakar where it talks about the Mishkan Vatsu Aron Atzei Shittim. The measurements for the Aron are given with halves. Amasai Mocheitzi, Arakova, Amocheitzi Rochba, etc. 2.5 Amas. Why is it all half Amas? So he talks about this being the Aron which resembles Torah and that one has to practice Anova. And there are 48 ways of acquiring Torah, and the whole Yisod, the whole foundation of acquiring these 48 ways is to practice humility. And Gozar Rebbe Shelo Yishnu Bashuk, what you shouldn't learn the Torah in the marketplace in front of everybody else, Shelo Yulnod Machmas Yohara, because you mustn't learn Torah in a manner that will be showing off. Gedalis Hader Bifnei Aroim, in order that you glorify yourself in front of those who are watching you, Kaminag Darenu, as unfortunately is nowadays, and he refers to Yeshiva Brochrim, who give lots of pilpuls and are trying to show off with it, that it's wrong. They should do it in such a way that it's hidden. And Rav Dessler writes in Michtov Eliyahu in Chelek Beis that when we talk about the din of Michsek Yorov, one shouldn't show off, it's not merely that people's perception of you will be that you are a show off. You might say, oh, what I'm doing is the Shem Shemaim. He's saying that it affects you as well. Michsek Yorov is not because you are seen by others as a show off, it's because you will then be influencing yourself and harming your own neshama, giving yourself gaiva by what you're doing, if it's something which you think is right, but is not really right in the eyes of others. And we'll end off with a pasuk from Tehillim Kuf Aleph, where David HaMelech says, Es haleich b'som levavi b'kerev beisi. I will go into the way of perfection, b'som levavi b'kerev beisi, inside my house. The place where I will become tamimistic is where I do things privately. If you want to have a chumrat gesundheit, if it makes you feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's wonderful. You're praised for it. There's nothing wrong with chumras. It's excellent. But do it privately, b'kerev beisi, in the privacy of your home, where nobody is watching you, and then that will enhance your neshama, that will enhance your character, and then nobody will regard you as a shomer. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi Lai, for giving us a good morning. It's been perfect.